I'd like them to sing that again, just so I can hear all the words again. That was obviously putting several hymns together and new thoughts. Obviously not anything new from Scripture, but that was a blessing. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. Let's do this evening. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Join me there, please. In some respects, this is a commissioning service for Darcy. I'm in the unusual place of being her dad, too, so it's maybe a little awkward, but I hope it not. You folks are very understanding and I think appreciative of what God is doing in her life, and I appreciate that. As well, this is an evening where we're in, as a church family, saying goodbye to Justin for a little bit. Lord willing, it's not permanent, all right? So we'll look forward to seeing him, but it's not until November we'd see you again. Is that Justin? Is that right? November-ish when you'd be back? That's right, after AIT and so forth. So we've got several months that we need to specifically be praying for one of our own as he heads out. And so this trust that this message will be really in many respects for both Justin and Darcy, and yet something that you and I can, as a church family, can be praying for them as well. Some just simple, straightforward truths that Paul uses. And I realize in a situation like this, Justin and Darcy in particular, for us to remember maybe specifically what I say, you'll forget. And that's okay in some respects. If you're paying attention and letting the Lord do what He wants to do in your heart right at this moment, that's great. But the picture here, so from Scripture, I don't want you to forget. And I trust that these pictures will be beneficial and helpful for your life and for ministry. Life for Justin, but he's ministering as well. Not full-time in the sense of a vocational ministry like Darcy, but very much so. He is going to be a light in a dark world. That's just the reality. And we need to pray that his light will shine strong, that he'll be godly and good in his work as a military man. And Darcy, obviously, being a light in a unique sense to a church, Christians, all right, and their children, but into a ministry as well, and opportunity for you on weekends and throughout even the week to interact with a whole different culture. For her, it'll be, it'll be nice to have Aunt Ruth and Aunt Amy there. One of the things that Mom and I, all right, Abby and I, really were excited about this opportunity is that she would have somebody to mentor her. Not just in her Christian walk with the Lord, but in her being in a foreign culture. And someone, these two girls, Aunt Amy, Aunt Ruth, will have already been through this process. And because, and this is biblical, folks, because they are single, they will be able to spend some attention on Darcy. And I'm grateful for that. As Mom and Dad, many of you, you've cut the strings with your kids at some point or another. This is baby number one in our family. And I know that we chuckle and joke about that, but there is, I didn't expect this in my own heart, but there is a reality as a dad that, woo, it's the baby. And of all things, she's the one that's going to be the first one taking this big dramatic step. All the children that God has given me, I'm grateful that as best I know how and as best they know how, they're following the Lord. And I rejoice in that. Michigan, the farthest child away from me right now, well, maybe I guess Kansas right now. Daniel's in Kansas with his wife for the summer doing fun things, all right, harvesting wheat and all those kinds of things for a couple months. Daniel and David live right up here in Watertown. We get to interact with them through the year, and that's a wonderful blessing. We rejoice knowing that that probably won't always be the case. Danae is fairly close at hand back to Michigan and so forth, and then Darcy's going to, she's gone. And we'll see her on Facebook and Skype, and that's it, right? So it has been a little bit of just some thoughtful things. I'll probably cry later. Can I put it that way? After she's gone, it's like, all right, miss her and so forth. I think I will cry, Darcy. Don't worry. Okay. and it's just, really, in my opinion, an amazing story of God's grace. You don't expect the baby to be the one to fly the coop. Necessarily, they're the ones that sometimes seem to love Mom and Dad and are there to cherish them and take care of them. I know specifically in my first wife's family, there was a special bond between Deb and her parents. She was the baby by several years in the family, and there was a closeness there that was unique. And I observed and watched from the outside. I was the oldest son, the only son. And it's like, come on, be a man, get up, grow up, those kinds of things. They were loving. But there's a whole different relationship to watch and observe. And I see some of that between Darcy and I. And I rejoice in it and grieve over it at the same time to see her go. And yet, these are critical things for each of us to pay attention in our life. God wants each of us to do His will. Can I be bold to say not just the pastor's kids? All of us are to be passionately pursuing God's will. Paul says it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son," Paul talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We could turn that phrase in several ways, but I want us to see and understand what Paul is saying is, God has been abundantly good to you, Timothy. Be strong to follow. We could say to do God's will is to be strong in the grace of the Lord. Does that make sense? Do you see the parallels? That's really a part of the diamond of God's grace. Paul was chiding and challenging Timothy to do all that God had called Timothy to do. Now, this was a critical point in Paul's life. This is the last letter he ever wrote, at least inspired letter, before his death. He knew it was coming. Two chapters later, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand. I know it's going to happen shortly." Paul, in many ways, was opening his heart to Timothy. "You need to, Timothy, carry on the ministry that God gave me, that I see that God has given you, Timothy." And so he says, "Timothy, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in your salvation. Cherish God's mercy and love to you as He forgives you of your sin on a daily basis. Fall hard on," that's maybe a funny way to put it, "but fall hard on the strength and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let Him empower you for life and ministry." Darcy, Justin, this is specifically for you, but it's for all of us. All of us are to be strong in the grace of God. Know Jesus Christ, that's part of being strong in His grace. Understanding and knowing Him. Where do I know Him? In God's Word, all those things. But what Paul does here is he gives us three pictures to help us to, maybe in our own minds, to solidify what he means by being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And you know, you're around me enough, I think, you know that I love those pictures. They help me think through life and understand it rightly. If I can get a biblical analogy or picture in my head of what God desires, it helps me live it out better. And Paul understands that about many of us. And so he writes these several pictures, illustrations of what it means to do God's will, what it means to be strong in the grace of God. So he tells Timothy in verse 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This really, in many ways, is the work of the Great Commission. "Take the truth I've taught you, Timothy. I was a part of your discipleship process, Timothy, and pass it on. All of us are called, as we saw even this morning, to make disciples." So verse 2 is another reiteration of Matthew 28, 19 and 20, is what it is. Pass on. Take the grace of God. Give it on. Verse 3, "Thou therefore," here comes the first picture. In the light of the fact that I am to live out and be strong in the grace of God and teach others to do the same, "thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Justin, I was drawn to this a little bit, not first, but a little bit, just because of what God has called you to do. All right, what's God's directing your steps? And the picture of a soldier is what Paul is reiterating here, or is drawing us to see, is that a soldier is submissive. Submissive to his commander. Justin, in particular, you are going to be light years ahead of your fellow soldiers because you have godly parents. And we've seen and demonstrated in your life here an obedience and a submission to that authority in your life. You're going to face it big time. You've probably known that already in a little bit of ROTC and so forth. Commanding officer and that drill sergeant will demand complete, immediate, unrepentant obedience. Do it now and do it right, all right? And yet God commands us as soldiers of Christ to do the same thing. Be submissive. Darcy, it was in this call in particular that your mom and I, your stepmom and I in particular, saw you being obedient to the Lord's will as we'd never seen in your life before. And I'm grateful for that, and that must continue. All of us must continue to be submissive to our commander-in-chief. So this demands a single-mindedness. You can have no other commander. No man, verse 4, that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? You don't get entangled with all kinds of things of this world because, what does it say in verse 4? So that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. All of us as soldiers of Jesus Christ, as followers of Christ, have been called to please our commanding officer, Jesus Christ. That's all that we live for. Nothing should get in the way. Now, believer, be honest with yourself and your heart and your life and ask the Lord to use the searchlight of His Spirit to work in your heart and life. Is everything in complete submission to your commander? I don't live this life for me. You don't live this life for your family. You don't live it for your boss. You don't live it for your mate. You don't live it for your pastor. We are to live this life for Jesus Christ alone. And what He says, we do. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. We must be single-minded. We must give up ourselves. And that's a lifelong process, isn't it? God grows us and develops us. Darcy, you will, in this circumstance of life, find areas in your life that you're self-centered. God plans that. It won't always be a pleasant thing to get up each morning and go teach those ornery kids. And then there will be something about the Berries or the Backricks, or Dr. K's son, I think it's a son, is that right? Yep. That you will see in their family that will not be something that you like or enjoy. Doesn't matter. You're there to serve them as you serve Jesus Christ. Be a soldier. Sometimes you just soldier on. You do right. You obey the Lord, not because it's pleasant, not because it's easy to do. It's because it's right. Your commander has given you the command, you go. You talk to any normal soldier, and when that command comes to charge, to get into the battle, they will be honest with you that their heart is generally fearing. And rightly so. They could be dead in a minute. They could be wounded for life. It doesn't matter. They have been taught, and you'll get this training, Justin, in your basic training. That's why they, in a sense, try to control you, teach you that. Because in the moment of the battle, you must obey. And that's true for us spiritually. Why is it that Christianity across America has so failed? Because in the moment of battle, too many Christians have run away. They're afraid to confront evil and sin in their own heart and life and the life of those around them. Be submissive to your commander, always. Second picture. Let's go on. Verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, he is going to be focused. This is really a picture of an athlete. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, given the award, the first place trophy or whatever, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Not only should you be submissive in your life, submissive to your commander, but you need to be disciplined in your behavior, like an athlete. Justin, they will, in basic training, regulate almost every moment of your life. Take advantage of every cherished minute that you have alone to be with your Lord. Don't miss those opportunities because they'll be few and fleeting at first. The reality is, as a Christian, we are to be like the athlete who willingly disciplines his life. Our behavior, as it says at the end of verse 5, is lawful. It's regulated. You play sports, you understand and know. There's all kinds of rules. All kinds of rules. And then they continue to add the rules. Do you realize that it's a common thing in American sports, the professional sports, in fact, even the college and so forth, where almost every year there's a review of all the rules, and they tweak and do certain things. What was the big rule change for this year for baseball? They're working the time, the pace of the game. Changing rules so that the game would move quicker, so that the crowds would come, so that they would like the baseball game. They've worked with how deep the wall is, so that we all like home runs, so they want home runs to be hit all the time. It's an anti-pitcher league right now. Okay, all those kinds of things. The ERA of pitchers always is continuing to go up. Why? Because we want to see hits. We don't want to see a good pitcher anymore. Anyways, you understand all that. All these rules that they have to play by. Well, Christianity is much more than a sport. It's life or death. And God has called us as Christians to be faithfully following His rules, His regulations. Darcy and Justin, don't be put on a shelf because you're not following the rules. Don't be disqualified. Don't be benched because you're unwilling to follow God. It may be hard, it may not be popular, but it's right. You want to be crowned? Not here. It doesn't matter the accolades you get. Justin, it just doesn't matter how far up in rank you get, really, before the Lord. What matters is you're a godly, good soldier, doing what He asks of you. Darcy, it doesn't matter if everyone pats you on your back or thinks you're the best teacher in the world. There will be some days where I'm sure your students will think you're the worst. You don't live for those praises of men. One day we're all going to stand before our Lord and give an account of how we lived our regulated life. How we disciplined ourselves spiritually so that we'll please our commander. I don't play sports to lose. What's the purpose if you're just going to go out there to have a fun time? Oh, it's good fun. No, I really want to win. That's the purpose of sports. We wouldn't, you know, okay, I'm now starting to speak against our culture, right? Not everyone's winners. That's the way the game goes, all right? It's just a game, but when you're in the midst of the game, you play to win. Not against the rules, with the rules, inside the rules. You want to be the best. What an amazing picture that Paul paints for us. Be that athlete, that spiritual athlete that plays to win God's approval. The Olympiad's gold medal will fade one day. There's a few names that we know from 50 years ago, very few. And yet, do you realize that there were ample gold medals given out 50 years ago? It doesn't matter if I'm approved in this life by my fellow man or even my fellow Christian. Now, don't step outside of the bounds of God's Word, all right? But that's not what we live for. We live for one day I'm going to stand before my commander. And I want to receive a crown. I want to win. I want to win his approval. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul, earlier in 1 Corinthians, remember, talked about if a man strive for masteries, if he doesn't strive lawful, yet is he not crowned? So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He wants to be approved of his master. Justin and Darcy in particular, regulate your life so that it is always pleasing to the Lord. So that means you set a time. Work it in the schedule. You're going to spend some time with the Lord every day. Prayer, reading of Scripture, memorizing Scripture. That's just a part of the regulations of life that'll help you. Make it a purposeful thing that you will look for the opportunities to share the gospel. Look for opportunities where you will be a discipler and discipling others. On purpose, determine how you can be generous and kind as your Savior was to you. Justin, you may share something with your fellow soldier. They may not deserve it, but you'll give them some of your stuff. Darcy, the funds that this church and people will give you is not just yours. You're simply a steward of it. And if someone's been generous to you, you should be generous with others. It's not for you. It's for service to the Lord. Let's be an athlete. Finally, let's go on to verse number 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So there's a couple of points here that Paul wants Timothy to consider. Timothy is to be a submissive soldier. Timothy is to be a regulated athlete. Here he's to be a working farmer. Now this is a crop farmer, a husbandman. He dealt with the field, the ground. All right, he wasn't a milk cow farmer or anything. But he had to work hard. And guess what happens? The husbandman that laboreth, he's careful over his crops, to plant, to weed, to water, to till. What happens? He gets to be first partaker of the fruits. There's something about those first cobs of corn. I don't know about you, but I love stuff that's sweet. And that first cob of corn that's just ripened, you know, July corn is nothing like October corn. It's just different. And the July corn is a lot better. You get that first ripe, and by the time it gets to October, you know, even the sweet corn that's supposed to be sweet, meh, it's okay. First partaker. How about those, it's almost time, those first strawberries? Nothing like them. Or those raspberries. We had those ever-bearing raspberries at our house when Dad was planting the church. It was my job to pick and 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 pick. But I tell you, one of the joys of picking and picking and picking was eating and eating and eating. But again, the raspberries didn't come in until near the end of summer. They really started coming in. And they go all the way to freeze time, you know. Those first raspberries, they were just... There was something about those first ones. Really good. And then the joy and blessing of when he talks about first, it's not just talking about first in time, but first in a sense priority. Who owns the crop when it's harvested? The husbandman does. He's farming, it's his. And if I, you know, it's not corn over there, and I wouldn't want to eat that corn anyways, it's field corn, but say, for instance, my neighbor has some corn growing in his yard. What would happen if I walked over there and picked some off and ate some for myself? Well, I suspect the neighbor would get a little upset, wouldn't he? Why? It's not mine. I'm stealing. The crop is his to do with what he wants. He's first partaker. He decides and rejoices in the wonderful harvest. Now, there's the human picture. What does God want us to know? Well, though the work of ministry is rigorous, and Timothy had already experienced much of the rigor. In fact, Paul had to encourage him. Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, come on, get at it. I know that there's resistance. I know that there's people that don't appreciate or love your work in ministry. There are people that speak against you. Ministry is hard. There are those that even though you've given out the gospel and given yourself, they ignore you. There are believers who disdain you, who fight against you. The work is hard. Keep at it. The study is not always easy. The work is difficult, but it will always be rewarded. Every ounce of energy given in the work of the ministry will not be forgotten by our great God. Justin and Darcy, let the reward that's promised you of the Lord regulate and submit your heart. Live for His reward. It will come. The joy of God's rewards is that they're never second rate, they're first. And that they often come at just the right time. Yes, there will be reward in eternity, and we look forward to that, and yet we live in the day, the here and now, and sometimes our eyesight for the eternal reward is hard to grasp when I'm going through struggles. God often brings blessings, brings reward here. First partaker. The spring crop. Ministry is filled with much joy. Believer, Don't give up on your God. Ask God to bring blessing to your life as you obey and follow Him. Ask Him to give you eyes to see those blessings. I've had some fun with it, I've told you already, but that tuba over there, you look close, it's an old beat-up thing. Been well-maintained, as put back together. But you know what? I look at it as a reward. Thank you for paying my salary, allowing me to save up some money so that I can buy that, so that I could serve the Lord with it. That's a reward. This week, Lord willing, we're going to see some children come to know the Lord as their Savior. Don't miss that. That's a wonderful reward. Stop and consider, maybe in your own heart and life, what God has done for you over this past year. You're all sitting here, you look pretty well fed. You look pleasantly clothed. Even Pastor Allen isn't breaking a sweat right now. We're sitting in air conditioning. Is it? No, it's not. It's not. We have multiple blessings that the Lord has given us, isn't it not? People that are dear friends to us, that's a reward from heaven. Husbands and wives here that are sitting here that love one another, you've seen the love of Christ in your life and you're rejoicing in your mate, that's a reward. That's first pickings. Children have godly parents here. Teens that have some good friends that actually help you grow in the Lord. Those are all rewards. God is no man's debtor. You serve Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Guess what happens? He's good to us. You say, well, I want to be pure in my motive. I'll just do it because it's right. Well, great. But God's going to spoil you anyway. Rejoice in His goodness to you. Live for His praise. Live for His reward. So, Darcy and Justin, but then all of us, let us tonight not forget that we're to be like a soldier, submissive to our commander. Like an athlete, regulated in our life, controlled, staying within the rules. Don't step out of bounds. Justin, the temptation in your life through the military career will be strong at times to step out of bounds, spiritually speaking. By God's grace, don't do it. Don't do it. And then may we all be like the farmer, diligent in our work. It's hard work, it's labor. By the end of this week, Lord willing, we'll all be tired, those that work in BBS. Tuckered, worn out. Ah, but it comes with reward. God will always allow you to be first partakers of the fruit. Look for it and rejoice in it. Cherish your good, gracious God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We've got a good God, don't we? So, let's conclude where Paul concludes. Verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. All right now, think about it. Consider what I say. Consider the Scriptures tonight. Make the application to your heart and life. How am I like a soldier of Christ? How am I like a spiritual athlete? How am I like a spiritual farmer, husbandman? Live those truths out in your life. Again, you'll probably forget what I've said, but if you can remember those pictures, it will help direct your steps, Darcy and Justin, as you serve the Lord. So go at it. Get to work. Submit. Regulate. Work hard. And see God's wonderful reward. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the joy and blessing of Your Word. May we tonight, all of us, but in particular Justin and Darcy, as You're sending them forth, new chapter in their life, may they not forget these pictures. Lord, it's Your Word, and so I cherish its power to work in all of our hearts. May we be like the soldier, submissive to our commander. May we be like the athlete, regulate our life according to the Word of God. May we be like the farmer, be diligent, and receive the reward. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to do something a little different for invitation. I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward, although if you want to speak to someone tonight, please do. I think it would be most appropriate and right. I realize that Darcy is going on a short-term mission just for a year to begin with, although it could go further than that. But I think it would be appropriate and right for us to spend some time in prayer for her in particular. I'm not going to pray because you know what will happen. I'll cry. But I do think it's important for us as a church family to let her know that we love her, we support her, we want to see God's blessing and goodness on her. So as a mini commissioning service, can I put it that way? A short-term commissioning service. There we go. I think it would be appropriate and right for us to spend some time together as a church family in prayer. So I'll ask my dad as a family member to pray. And then Brother Halstead, would you be willing to pray tonight as a former pastor and a man that understands ministry well, been in it? Would you pray? And then Brother Tim, would you close us tonight, chairman of our deacons? Okay, I'll cry now. Okay. I appreciate Tim's heartbeat for ministry. He was the one that stepped forward and said, Pastor, we're the sending church. We've got to do something here. I appreciate that. I know that that's your heartbeat. He was speaking to all of you. I think it would be most appropriate for you to pray tonight to close. So, Dad, you start. Brother Wes, and then Brother Tim.